First time in Virgin Nigeria, in Nigeria, we have a Nigerian who is now the airport manager of Virgin Atlantic. So I must congratulate her. In case you are listening, Mama, this one is washable. It is washable in all manners possible. Congratulations. I think it's more and more have people reposing confidence in our people at such levels. Right, so let's leave that aside and let's get down to business. We started yesterday, we'll continue today with the update on what is going on. And today, I have my good friend with me, Osa. Osa was on, he was on vacation at the same time I was, but we were in different parts of the world. Osa is a big man, you know me, I'll be small picking. Wait till I know. I'll be small picking. Osa, how are you?
I'm fine, sir.
Yes, let's take we'll go through some of the issues which I also will go through with Kwame Ademilu tomorrow. Don't forget, Kwame Ademilu comes at 9 o'clock. And also, even though you are not a Yoruba man, but what influence do you think bodies like Afeniferi or Haneze, this Middle Belt Forum and all this, what real influence do you think they have? When it comes to the nitty-gritty, when it comes to gathering, you see, at the end of the day, whatever tactics you play, whatever game you play, it boils down to numbers. Okay, it boils down to numbers. So you've heard what's going on in Afeniferi, you know, especially between the two elderly men, which is the unfortunate part. But what do you think? What relevance do you think they have in real terms?
Do they have relevance? I would say yes, partly.
Okay.
Note that not all of us are literate in Nigeria. And not everybody stays, live in the cosmopolitan environment in Nigeria.
In Nigeria.
So there are people that still listen to these radios, still have that affinity with their culture.
Culture.
Their people. And when someone says that, talk or make a statement, you know, and they hear those things and they feel that these statements are for the betterment of their own people, you know, so they tend to go. So you can give an example like the Arewa people now. So you know, when they cascade those kind of information,
yeah,
and you know, there's the can go to a mox, you know, say this is where we are going to, this XYZ means good for us or our people.
Do you think with the advent of the social media and access to it, I think we make a lot of assumptions and we must still be thinking in the past. Because every other person now has some kind of phone.
I agree.
Has access to the social media. And there seems to be a bit more critical thinking out there. You know, my theory is that yes, they would have influence in certain spheres. For example, if Afeniferi, if Padibanjo, for example, says he supports Peter Obi, how many people are going to cast their vote for Peter Obi because Padibanjo, you know, says he's doing that on behalf of Afeniferi? I think he'll be getting a lot of votes rather on his own steam. The same applies to Achiwaju. I don't think, like I said yesterday, that Achiwaju Tinubu needs Afeniferi's endorsement to win an election, or to win or lose an election, as the case may be.
You see,
I think that it's just this assumption that what has been the social media actually, and the access is nationwide.
As a digital marketing person,
yes. You use that one to harass me.
Yes, from the last count, from my check, from last count, you don't have less than 25 million Nigerians maybe on Facebook. And you have over 70, 80 million people who are going to cast their vote.
Okay, but how many people do you have who have access to phones? Because it's not just Facebook.
Your internet penetration, I mean, your broadband penetration across Nigeria is less than, I'm not sure it's up to maybe 40% now? 40, 30%?
Yeah, 40%? Really?
Yes.
Really?
So when you have close to 110 million people, 120, 140 or so, I'm not checking the last count from NCC, who are having smartphones, different kind of phones. So you can find out that you have just less than 40-45% of them who are on broadband.
Yeah,
so now how you now put in place the social media, those guys does not even know. Let me give you a typical example now. There's a place I go to buy suya. So I saw the guy selling the suya, so I just engaged him. I look at his phone. This phone is just balasa phone that we call it. So I
not like the one you just showed me.
Yeah. So I started so I started engaging.
Sorry, you must give me that phone.
I started engaging him.
Yeah.
You know, I found out that he was very, very well informed, telling me statements. That means he gets those news from radios, BBC, all those stuff that they listen to. You know, they have their awesome fashion like that. So he was very, very well informed about the political climate in Nigeria, telling me also.
But just a second, don't you think that also applies? Do these people have structures across FNFRA? Do they have local cells?
See.
Do they have Ohanaeze? Do you have the local Ohanaeze down the line? See, I don't know.
In this dispensation,
yes,
the likes of Asiwaju Bola Ahmed Tinubu was a product of FNFRA.
That was then.
So that means there was some semblance of influence then.
But remember that he decimated them.
Yeah, but if he decimated, why is he going back to them to come and get them?
That's what I'm saying. So I don't believe that he. I don't want to go on him personally, but just generally.
I know, I think it's his matter that brought this FNFRA here and there. And of course, when he went to meet one part, another part said this XYZ. So the question is that why that endorsement? Like, for example, in the US now, you have the Team Stars, the guys that drop those trucks across the country. How many of them? Maybe 150,000 members or something, maybe something members dropping this stuff. But you see that there's like an endorsement of a political, endorsing the Democratic Party, maybe candidates for the president, you know. So you look at it, they're just like.
Might not really have any. What have they done for their people? What have the Northern Elders Forum done for their own people? These questions need to be asked. What do you think?
For the FNFRA people, I won't say they have not done they have not done well.
What have they done?
This movement is part of the Awo movement.
Yes.
Right from over 70 years ago.
In principle,
they started this stuff.
Yes.
And you can see that they have a socialist progressive kind of leaning towards governance. And if an FNFRA goes to bring an OSA to come and become a governor, and they feel that I say the right words, I say this, I'm going to carry the torch around, and I go to the government house, and now start doing my own thing, so you can't blame those people because they felt that they want to follow the legacy left by the great sage Awo.
If we look at the Northern Elders Forum, it's made of the Northern elite,
yes,
who are more or less complicit in the plight of the ordinary citizens.
I agree 100%.
Yes, I mean, so I want because now what you now have is 2-3 man organizations claiming to be speaking on behalf of this one. You should form one now. Edo Something Forum. I will join you because my origins are from Benin.
Oh, no plenty.
Okay, let's leave that. Let's look at the political race now as it is, and look at the candidates. In terms of visibility, do you agree that Asiwaju is virtually the leader in terms of visibility? And when I say visibility, it's for good or for bad. And what you will hear from people, you know, experts in PR, says that in politics sometimes visibility, either for good or for bad, you're just there in the minds of the people. Do you agree with that assumption?
All of them are all visible,
but some are more visible than others.
And so how do you gauge that visibility? So let's take social media, for example, where we can at least have the metrics that you can pinpoint that okay, this is the numbers. So I can tell you that for a fact that there's no day that you won't see OBDN, something trending.
Yes.
That means people are talking about them. You know, globally, Nigerians everywhere talking about them. And you also see Tinubu trending too.
Yes.
People are talking about them, maybe some statement that he made or something about his politics or something that happened, maybe something about them. People talked about them. Same thing with Atiku. Atiku's movement to the US to see as the Secretary of State and stuff like that. People also talking about them.
How do you view the fact that a presidential candidate now sees an assistant Secretary of State?
Who is the Secretary of State? Is he elected?
So what's the relevance of that?
I think what they're trying to do is like, they're trying to, it's like a lobby thing they're trying to do. This same thing. APC did it 2014, 2015. They did all this stuff that they are doing now. Because if you look at it, for the first time, when Obasanjo was there, did you see any American president coming to tell us that how you conduct an election? You didn't see anything. Even when Yar'Adua, they wanted to do Yar'Adua, did you see anybody saying anything? But you know, when this guy, when the APC, CPC, AMPP, everybody, and the APGA of Rochas, you know, merged together to form APC, they hired some lobbying group in the US who was trying to help them to, you know, to get support, Trump support in the Congress and stuff like that. If you notice, John Kerry came here twice in the space of weeks to see both PDP presidential candidates. I remember I saw one in Marina, State House Marina, and he saw and the consulate house where Buhari and everybody, the pictures are there in the internet. We came to see them and tried to tell them to keep the peace, the election should be fair and fair. He came back the second time when he was postponed. He came back again the second time. He came back twice. He stopped over. Like, they came in that day, see everybody, and went back. And for the first time, an Obama in the Oval Office did a broadcast directly to Nigerians. You know, that the process must be free and fair.
Do you get a, like, do you get a sense of where the Western world might be leaning? Do you get any sense at all? Because to say that they have no interest is just to be honest.
No, you must have interest in Nigeria, because God forbid we have calamities here. It's an economic disaster in Africa for Nigerians to have, we have something like a turmoil here. It's an economic disaster. I mean, everything, political posts, everything will happen in Africa. So you will need to, because at the end of the day, you are the one that will still rush back to try to save what's happening over here. So I'm sure they have their leanings. They have where they want to go to. So I'm sure at the right time, you start seeing snippet of all those stop them. You know, those talked of sanctions. If it's not free and fair, we'll sanction you.
Do you think the Western world will be happy with Buhari's performance?
I cannot say for the government, but from the Western media.
Yes.
Like Financial Times released something.
Yes.
Claiming this was a disaster. Economists have said their own. Wall Street Journal, New York Times, those influential major Western media houses have said that the government has been a disaster. All the aspirations, the hopes, the promises, you know, came up almost empty.
Can you distance the candidates from these criticisms of the party?
See, in different forums that I belong to, that I argue, I said, see, I'll put two examples: the Labour Party, Conservative, the Democratic, and the Republican. Now, why is the current, there's a midterm next Tuesday in the US.
Yes.
And there's a likelihood that the Congress will tilt towards the Republicans.
Republicans, yes. I've
heard that. So why? Because of economic policies, inflation. Those are the issues that people will go to the polls to vote for. So in Nigeria now, if a government, Nigerians vote to sack the PDP government after 16 years. Why did we sack this PDP government? We sacked the PDP government based on the fact that they didn't do well. I mean, the later parts, maybe the Jonathan era, they didn't do well. And that's why people went to the polls and tell them to go away. So there is no way that you can separate the Ashwaju, the Bola Tinubu, Shettima candidacy from the failures or fair for the age. There are lots of promises that when you go and start ticking your boxes, you see that fail. There was no attempt for some of those promises. Somebody was like half-hearted, so we're like...
But in reality, and to be fair, who do we actually hold responsible? In principle, we hold the party.
Yes.
But was there any influence from the party in the Buhari government?
He was surrounded by party members.
Did he listen to them?
That's the.
Did he listen to anybody?
They gave him the tickets. They gave him back the second ticket. They could have said, "Oga, we cannot give you this ticket. Then maybe we'll abandon the party and leave you alone with your party. We cannot follow you." But they were quiet now.
Because I suspect that what the candidate might have to do at some point is to be critical of the government and to say that, yes, we are not directly involved. He might have to disown.
If he disowned the government now, you're going to lose some political capitals from yourself if you do that now.
But if it goes along with the government, he will also lose some political capital.
So he has to be very smart to balance the. He has to be very smart because you see, whether you like it or not, there are millions of Nigerians now, who, especially in the northern part, who still have some belief in Buhari as a person. And there's no way you can come and rubbish him and put him to the cleaners and say he has done that. Because when the country, let's say when the ship was sinking, he himself, what did he do? Did he go and lock himself with party leaders to the room of the president and say, Mr. President, we came here with sweat and blood?
Well, I think, you know, what it just shows that I hope that in future the parties will be well structured and well put together, you know, for them to realize that, look, the party ticket represents the party and not the person. Because the truth is, I believe Buhari won that election not just because he was an APC member. He won it on his own steam.
Yeah, because Buhari, if you look at the election, even in the last one,
yes,
somebody just sent me a stats, you know, people, these data scientists, everybody trying to do some, you know, analysis on the election. Buhari got over 11 point something million votes from the northern part.
Yes.
And he got 3 million from the southern part. So, you know, so you can see on his own, over 77% of the vote or so there came from, maybe you would tell from
him.
From myself, for what I do.
Okay. Mm. Okay, because you also voted for him. Okay.
No, this one.
No, you didn't vote for him. Okay. 9:22, we're gonna have, you know, I don't like this thing popping up on me, so we are going to have to take a short break. Meanwhile, when we take the break, when we come back, we're going to take your calls. And also, I said that now on Twitter, just add at Jimmy Disu so I can read it on this device in front of me here. Since I can't read the main one, it's too far. My eye, no to this thing again. So we'll take a short break and we'll be right back. Yeah, you're welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, and Osa is still here. He hasn't gone. Osa, hi.
Okay, sir.
Good. So we'll open up our lines 0700-993-993-993 and 0146571190. Remember, you can tweet, but please ask Jimmy Disu so that I can read it on my device here. Okay? And there's rules about calling, call from a quiet place. You have just 1 minute to make your point, so don't spend half the time greeting this and greeting that. And also, let's stick to the topic. Let's stick, it's not an open mic, so let's stick to the topic that we are talking about. Okay, let me take one or two calls, and I'll discuss one or two things with Osa. Hello, good morning. We have a caller. Yes, let's take the one on Skype. Hello? We lost it. Hello. Morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I'm Daniel.
Where are you calling from? Calling from?
England.
England. Okay. Yeah. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I just wanted to say. I just wanted to talk about the importance of this sociocultural group. So what I think is, I think because a lot of us, maybe we live in urban areas, we have access to internet. Yes, maybe more of us are a bit more exposed and independent-minded. But the truth is that a lot of people still listen to these guys, all these Arewa group and Northern Elders Forum and the likes of them. So they still owe some sort of influence, no matter how much we try to. They still owe some. I mean, country of 200 million people, there are still people who listen to these guys. So their influence is still there, sadly.
Why did you say sadly? Okay, I think I have an idea why he said sadly. Hello, good morning.
Morning. Yeah, good morning to the guests in the studio.
Morning, who is speaking?
Yeah, this is Queen Obiani Juru Tokeke. I'm calling you from Iyanoba.
Yes, ma'am. Please go on.
Yeah, to be sincere, this is not a Muslim issue or a tribe.
You left that one. Okay, let's take another one. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. Hello?
Welcome back, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Who's speaking?
Uncle Jimmy, this is Chris.
Oh, Chris, how are you? Morning. I don't know, we have a problem today. Okay. Hello. Good morning. Let's talk again.
What happened now?
Okay. Just go on. Just go on quickly.
Okay. Thank you, sir. For me, those who were condemning Afeni Ferry because they are not dancing to their own tune of whoever party. Now they are dancing to their tune. They are not giving credit to them. Like the caller from London said, they have influence. But the cocoa, the Tom Printing, that is the cocoa. So the ball is in Nigerian court. Thank
you. Yes. Okay. All right. Just one more caller, then we move on. Hello, good morning. Morning. Hello.
Hello.
Morning.
Uncle Jimmy, good morning.
Morning.
Let me greet my brother now. Uncle Ota, good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Morning.
CM, they cannot separate themselves from the work that Buhari have done. Because if they don't like it, the second term, they will not give him that ticket. Thank you.
All right. I wonder who they are. I think I have a rough idea. Okay, Osa, quickly, let's move to something else that concerns me. The issue of how we are handling this airline crisis. Where, I mean, obviously, you just came back, so you know what tickets were like. As at this morning, the Emirates has left Nigeria again. But our own reaction here, both between the Minister of Aviation and the Central Bank Governor, is like they couldn't be bothered. In fact, the Minister of Aviation, I think we spoke about it, said that with the Nigerians, we have other arrangements, and I wonder what he's talking about. Don't you think that if we are not careful, we could make ourselves a pariah state if all the airlines are not flying into our country?
I know it is the issue of Forex.
Yes, I mean, and because if you are a foreign investor, you want to repatriate your funds.
Like the governors have said, there's no money coming from NNPC. NNPC brings the Forex. So you sell the crude, you remit the money in the bank, the bank is, you know, that's the foreign reserve. Like they say, the Chase Bank also said Nigeria has not dropped any dime. Nobody has dropped any dime in the past few months now on that account. So I think the country has been living with the VAT being paid, and also ways and means, like the former MEA of Kano said, who says that he's printing money. So
yes,
the issue now is that
that's not a nice.
Yes, so you're printing money. You know, Governor Bassey made that statement before.
Yes,
that they are printing money.
Yes,
that you just print and give you take.
Yes,
you know, and so the issue now is that they don't even have, maybe they have like maybe 30 billion foreign reserve, and if they continue at that rate, I'm not sure that 30 billion can cover for 6 months of imports.
Imports.
6 months. So once you can cover for 6 months of imports, then you're heading towards bankruptcy.
But how in what context do we then put the rate of stealing, you know, the country's oil wealth and so on and so forth?
It's so sad that you have the capacity, you have given an allocation to do 2 million barrels of oil.
Yes.
And the government is telling you that we are doing 700,000 barrels of oil. No. I have not heard that the militants have resumed bombing of the oil pipelines.
Okay.
I have not heard that the likes of all those militants, they are back to the trenches. You know, at least for now. Not like these days when Jonathan, Yaradua and Co were coming, everybody were doing all those kidnappings and Co. Kidnapping has moved towards
but
the south.
But surely you have heard the volume of Nigeria that's been stolen.
We're just sitting down here and we're just gloating about it and just saying this thing. It's a calamity that we are supposed to provide 2 million barrels of oil a day and we are barely doing 700,000 barrels a day. And the remaining 1.3 or so or thereabout is being pumped away.
And
people pissing away. And we have Navy, we have soldiers, we have MPA people, we have Nimasa, we have this thing there. Oil is not a pin that I put in my pocket and I go. You put it in a super tanker. Tankers that will move. And tanker is not a Formula One car that you just take off a minute and move. So if the tanker is going to be seeing it, if anybody in Lagos can see tankers, especially if you're close to the marinas, you see the tankers, you see them moving. So before you can get towards the Atlantic, it takes you like 1 hour to get to that place to get into the international waters. So what is happening? This government has failed this country. That our commonwealth is being frittered away by a few. and we have a minister of petroleum who also is our commander-in-chief under his watch. The wealth of this nation is being stolen, and we are massively, and we are not paying for it with hunger. We cannot do anything, because this is God-given wealth. This thing was not given to Cameroon. This thing was given to us in Nigeria. So there was a purpose for this wealth that we are tapping on. We've been tapping on this for almost 50 years now, and this is the common state of this country. How can the government, the president, should have resumed to move from Aso Rock to go and stay in Port Harcourt? Because it's like you are running a business, and this is the place that brings money.
The leaks are unimaginable.
So you sit down somewhere, you jump into a plane, and you move on. You take a plane because we're feeding you, we are giving you food to eat in the villa. And this commonwealth is being stolen, it's being fitted away. Nobody has been accounted for. You get a container of a ship, you say you burn it down. Haba! This is pure conspiracy from the top.
If you look at the documentaries that have come out from the so-called war that the security arrangement has produced, I mean, that is massive infrastructure. How could that have like, just like you rightly said, that is mass. Look at the laying of the pipes and everything to the tankers. How could that have taken
place? NNPC.
And as we speak today, nobody has been held responsible.
Just for using your personal mail, the Home Secretary resigned. We still have our NNPC chief executive sitting down, opening his mouth and telling us that for 7 years that pipe has been there. They just discovered, they put it back, maybe 9 years, so that they want to put it from, okay, let's say it started from the GEJ side, the pipeline. So what did you do?
So for the 8 years, what have you done?
So what is the master doing there? Why are we paying them money? Why are they collecting? What was happening there? Okay, it's a failure of governance for us to hand over our territorial waters to Tumpulo and his gang. It's a failure. All you need to do is to recruit Nigerians, train them, give them the gun boots, arm them very well, do their jobs, and pay them good salary and bonuses. It's a failure for us to privatize security of our territorial waters to a Nigerian company, to a ragtag security outfit. And we're paying, and we have a government. It's a complete failure. It's so sad. When you go around the world, you see the international waters be manned by National Guard, Coastal Guard, things like that. Yes. They are even chasing people that are even fishing, talk less of oil moving. this is just, see, this government has taken us so low, so very, very, very low. Nigeria was Africa's superpower. If Nigeria sneezed, the whole Africa will shake. But now, we can't even
How do you reconcile this with a government that based its acceptance of the people on the fact that they were going to fight corruption? That was, in fact, most of us who supported Buhari, especially in his first coming, that was where we had our eyes on.
See, a friend of mine said when Buhari came to power and he saw Buhari wearing a Gucci shoe and his Ferragamo.
Buhari doesn't wear
No. I'm just saying that you have the pictures and images now. He said that there's no hope for corruption here.
But there's only
I'm just going to give you an example now. When you somebody coming from his pattern lifestyle before power and now living a luxury life. Now you said when you came in.
That's why Obi says he has only two shoes.
when you came in and you said.
Obi wears Max and Spencer.
No, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes.
You spend part of your life in the UK.
Yes.
And you can see the average British man does not pack these things that we do.
No.
One or two sneakers, there and there, sneak on this party shoe, evening wear. That's all. It's we that gather these things. Yes. As if it's like we're trying to say like we usually say, let mama see what I'm all this stuff you're doing. Mama see me. That's what we're trying to do now. You came in and told us at Chatham House that what are we doing with 9 or 10 presidential fleets? You came and gave one helicopter there and called many ones, your family members, political people, Senate people, everybody's flying this thing and they're enjoying life. No austerity measures. This government did not even do one austerity measure among themselves there. One, they did not do. To show us that we are tightening this bed. Remember those days of military? Bed tightening.
No, you don't need to go far. For those who know, you remember Obasanjo's first coming.
Low profile, 504 car.
Yes, he trained the cars to 504 car that if anybody's going to take a shot, let them go ahead.
No, you didn't trim the government. The budget to eat. How many people are there? Are we feeding? Who are we feeding? How many times foreign people come? The foreign people come apart from state dinner. They go and stay in Transcorp Hilton Hotel and do their thing from there. They go back to their country. So you are spending how many billions too? How many bag of rice will brother and his family eat in a full year? Look at how much they are spending. No, you're not even showing Nigeria that this thing, we are cutting down this thing. I can only give you bottle water here. Please, 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 please